Send a movie idea.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. I say that every week, and the more I say it, the less it means.
You think, like when people say a word over and over
again? Yeah, it means nothing at all. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where it'll be left in mine and John's collective will, along with a deep sense of regret, three pillows, and £15 cash. I'm Joel, a man who puts the B in subtle. And across from me is John Harris, a man who has declared enough is enough when it comes to the searing heatwave currently attacking Britain. His Change.org petition, entitled War on Warmth, Bring Back the British Summer, has so far attracted 12 signatures, and he plans to present it to Parliament in mid-August. Hello, John.
Hello. All true.
How do you feel about the warmth?
I hate it.
It's too much, mate. It's going to be 30 degrees next week.
Whoa.
30 degrees next week. How many degrees do you like?
Just 11.
About 11 degrees.
About 11 degrees.
19 degrees too many.
Yeah, it's 19 degrees too many right now, guys. But people won't listen.
To your petition.
Yeah, I'm thinking we just put a giant ceramic plate in the sky just to shade, you know, so it's always
ceramic nighttime. Gets really hot though.
I haven't thought this through. What about a giant parasol over the country?
Great, that's better. That's a more reasonable
and
solution.
We can close it at night so that if there's any rain.
Do you know how I know that clay and ceramic gets super hot?
Why?
A, because everyone knows that, but B, because of a great story from Joel's childhood. So I wasn't very good at art.
Yep.
It may surprise you to learn.
Yeah.
One thing that happened once, I accidentally used the wrong type of paint and painted through some canvas or acrylic, whatever I was using, right? But what? Here's the clay.
What school were you in where they had acid paint on, like, available?
Pretty experimental school.
Yeah.
We were on acid. We were painting with acid. But we had to do sculpture, right? And we had a kiln at us. Do you have a kiln?
Yeah. No, wait, no.
We had a kiln.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy, right?
That's cool.
So you had to make this clay sculpture, mm-hmm. and I knew mine was dog shit. Like, I knew it was really shit, and it was going to get a terrible mark.
Yeah.
But half of your mark was about the effort and the planning, right?
Okay.
And I thought I'd really nailed that. But I knew that the end product would be so bad that all of that would be out the window. So I sabotaged my own sculpture. It was like a bust, and I just made the head hollow so that it would explode in the kiln, and then I got a B.
Wow.
Because it just exploded. But it also took out several other people's with it. So I do have some guilt around that. But it wasn't an official bit of work. But self-sabotage on a clay head. I mean, if you've ever done anything similar, let us know.
There's always a little bit of friendly fire in academia. In good academia. Yeah,
in every kiln. In every kiln. Did your school have a kiln? Email us. Should we pitch some films?
Yes, please.
Give me a film.
This one's from Emma. She said, she tweeted us because I did a little bit of the, you know, world's smallest violin and said that we were looking thin on the ground and we could really do some help.
Cool.
And even you listening right now, that's still the case.
Yeah, that's all. Take that as read.
Yeah. If you've come up with an idea, don't think, you know, I'm going to bank this for a week, they're low. Yeah. We're always low.
That tweet is kind of eternally relevant.
Might pin it. So she says, okay, how about Bon Air, starring Bono, John Bon Jovi, and Joe Bonamassa, go. To which Paul then replied, and John Bonham.
God, there's so many Bonds out there.
There's so many Bonds in music, specifically in rock music.
Yeah, not really in any other walk of life. I can't think of another Bon outside of music.
No.
That's weird, right?
Well, apart from the bonbon.
But it means good. Bonbon. It means good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it means good, good.
John Good, good Jovi. Good. Never really thought about it before.
Goodo, the singer of U2.
John Goodo. Yeah, it's weird.
Also, John Bonham, the drummer of Led Zeppelin.
Good ham.
Good ham.
Yeah, I love good ham.
If there's one thing that we stand for as a podcast, it's good ham.
What's Jovi in French? Happy?
Yeah.
John Good Happy.
Jovi. V is like life, but I don't know a word for jo. Like there's beau, which would be beautiful life.
Ah. Oh.
John Good Beautiful Life.
Good Beautiful Life. It's like a Moby song.
Now, so basically, rather than a film about convicts on a plane, what we've accidentally got there is some sort of rock supergroup.
Yeah, I'm into it.
I'm not sure that Bono and Bon Jovi are going to be too chuffed sharing a stage together.
No, but imagine they'd have to build new stadiums for them to perform in because they're both stadium bands. They'd have to create double stadiums.
The new camp.
Actually, here's how I imagine it going. They're actually rivals and they get booked to play the same stadium and there's a stage at each end and they try and out-rock each other.
Nice, like the really good DJ rock sequence towards the end of Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah, but bigger.
But big and more monsters.
Several monsters. They're just in the crowd enjoying the gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then one of the other Bonhams swoops in at the end and actually steals the show.
I feel like we've wasted, with Bono and John Bon Jovi, I feel like we wasted the Bonds. Like the drummer of...
Who's the Bond villain?
A Bond girl?
Bond girl.
She comes in and sings a really high-pitched note that smashes all the glasses.
Oh, no. And you only get served plastic at a gig. Is it difficult? How do you smash plastic? Is what a lot of governments are trying to watch at the moment. So.
She sings a note so high that all the plastic cups smash.
They melt.
And
the sea.
And so someone, because you can't tell, because it looks like glass smashing.
Yeah.
So then it has to cut to like a punter going, "This is a plastic."
Wow, she's great. It's not even that high. It's just a note previously undiscovered that smashes plastic.
She found the new sound.
I think it's a good film.
Con Air is such a good elevator pitch, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not even an elevator. It's just Con Air.
Yeah. It's great.
Prisoners in the sky.
It's just aircon backwards. It's so clever. Isn't that clever?
And that's why the plane was so hot, because it's aircon backwards.
Just central heating. Here's my film pitch. Heating Central.
I could see Heating Central being a film title.
Yeah.
What would happen in Heating Central, Joe?
Okay. Former Man United goalie Tom Heaton and famous actor Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
They get stuck on the central line.
Heaton and Keaton.
Heaton and Keaton.
You keep bringing up the central line.
I know, because I hate it. You're not going to get
a central line-based movie made.
I'm hoping to get some sort of... I mentioned the central line enough, without being paid, might I add. Eventually, they'll add an extra cool carriage just for me.
Extra cool.
Yeah, extra. Same temperature, but it'd just be a really great place to hang out.
Is it just you on there?
Yeah.
Is it like
but
a
I'm
coffin?
In the shade.
It's a coffin dangling from the end of the tube.
Yeah. A little rope. And it's smashing about.
And you're wearing sunglasses inside the coffin.
Yeah, of course I am. I'm not an idiot. I'm keeping it cool. And then I have to really awkwardly climb out of the coffin and avoid the tracks and the mice. Is spotting mice on the tube your favourite thing to do?
Yeah.
That's weird. You loser. I hate it.
I'm just trying to support you, Joel.
No, I really like it and I worry about them in this heat. But I do love seeing mice on the tube. When I was in New York recently, it's just rats.
Oh, no.
Rats are so horrible. You're not on the side of rats, but
no.
I feel like as a public, we're really behind mice.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you see a little mouse, you think, what a plucky little fella, I hope he does all right. You see a rat, you think, I want that thing to die immediately.
Yeah, well, because, like, there's the whole thing about, like, Pizza Rat in New York and stuff. Like,
he's a bit of a cult hero. but anti-hero, I reckon.
Yeah, maybe. Because I feel like people watch that and they're like, oh, it's these rats pulling a pizza. And they're like, whoa. Maybe because they're New Yorkers, they're just used to it. And they're like, hey.
Yeah.
But to me, I was like, kill it with fire. Like, why are
exactly,
if it was a mouse, I'd be like,
come on, boy. Yeah,
is that species?
It's like bees and wasps.
Yes.
You see a bee, you think, go on, mate.
Exactly. It's so much like that.
And you see a wasp, you're like, honestly, I see a wasp, I think, fuck off. I see a bee, I think, go on, son. Don't you? They're so similar.
It's so species.
We're so species. People are so species. Have bees and mice just got better PR? What's that about? Film pitch for next week. A PR agency, but for the bad animals.
It's called Bad Animals.
It's called Bad Animals, yeah.
I really like that.
That's a great idea. Fuck. Maybe I won't pitch it next week. Maybe I'll actually go to Hollywood.
Because I remember that people who studied hyenas were really annoyed with the Lion King for putting them in a really, really bad light.
Because they're actually great
guys. Because they're just top animals.
See, I think of them as being dicks. It's probably mostly based on the Lion King.
Exactly, whereas apparently they're really top guys.
They're great guys.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, because you watch the Lion King and you think, I'll hang out in the pub with the lions.
Yeah.
Not Scar, not the hyenas. But apparently, in reality, if you want to go to the pub with an animal from the Lion King,
they're a good laugh.
Hyenas. Well, actually, you'd probably go with Rafiki, but that's...
You'd definitely go on the piss with Rafiki. It's mad.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
It would be amazing. If you could go on the piss with any Disney character, who would it be? Let us
that
know.
That is the real tweet in. Ignore everything so far.
No, I want to know about kilns. No. If you could go out on the lash with any Disney character, who would it be? And we need reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Now I'm broadening it. I think, what's the little guy in Hercules called?
Played by Danny DeVito.
Big time.
Yeah,
big
I can't time. Think of the character's name.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be good. I think this is going to... I'll put this on Twitter, and at the post creds of the next one,
yep,
we will discuss.
The big reveal. Would you like one from me?
Yes, please.
So, this is from Jeremy. Now, that's what I call music 3629.
Okay.
We're in the distant future at this point. Can you imagine that?
Yes.
Everything's changed, apart from one constant that's run through seemingly all of past time.
Yeah.
And that's what I call music every year. It's outlived streaming, it's outlived the chips people got in their heads to play music, and it's outlived just being born able to think about every song ever made.
Yeah.
Because that's how people are engineered now.
I like that you've really... Jeremy's really thought this through.
Yep, definitely Jeremy. Jeremy sent this idea in. It's very fleshed out. And he clearly spent maybe up to 10, 15 minutes before we recorded thinking about this. Right. What people don't realise is that now that's what I call music is actually government issued every single year. Because you've probably thought... You thought, why are they still churning this out?
Yeah.
You probably watch telly and you see an advert for a Ministry of Sound compilation. And you think, who is buying this? Do you think that? They're government issue, mate. The Ministry of Sound is issuing these records every single year, and there's actually hidden messages in them that make people sign up for the army and stuff.
I didn't know that.
So now, by the time we've got to now, that's what I call music 3629, they've built up a huge base of army recruits through the hidden messages in the albums. Yeah.
Let me just make up a name for our protagonist. Jeremy.
Well done, mate. That is a good name for a protagonist. Not enough protagonist Jeremys.
And he's going to break it wide open, right?
Big time. Yeah. Well, it sounds like he already has. He's written this from the future. He's like, guys, stop the Now album.
The end of the film is Jeremy sending an email to the past to a podcast about movies.
And then it's me and you trying to stop Now albums. No, he goes back in time and stops Now. That's what I call music number one.
Because we're at Now 100, so maybe now is the time.
Now that's what I call music is the time.
That's how he ends the email.
There you go.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Right, in response to last week, we went off on a freeform jazz dystopian kind of improv about what the Rock's gooch looks like.
Yeah, I don't think that was dystopian, mate. I think it's probably a beautiful vision for a future. And now, that's what I call a gooch.
So Cassian got in touch and said...
I've unsubscribed. I've cut off my own ears.
In the spirit of the show, I'd like to offer up Turner and Gooch. About Tom Hanks and his crime-fighting gooch.
Right. Is Tom Hanks' gooch the crime-fighting gooch, or is it like a disembodied gooch that he goes around with, that he like keeps in his wallet and chats to? And the gooch is like, hey, I've got a great lead.
Played by Stanley Gucci.
Stanley Gucci!
There we go.
Yeah, good. Very well done.
Thank you. Turner and Hooch is a... He's got a big dog, and it's annoying, and then I assume things are fine because the dog's cool.
Yeah, I imagine the dog turns out pretty cool. So in the sequel, the dog's dead.
Oh.
And all he's got
is his own gooch.
Is his own. And he has to speak to it, like, and you know when you do a V-sit in gymnastics at school? I'll demonstrate one for our Twitter account, but I won't do it nude. But he has to nude using a series of mirrors and a V-sit chat to his gooch. And that's the way they interview criminals in those interrogation rooms.
John just silently got into a V-sip whilst he was talking then. It's amazing. Yeah. So just flexible.
Etched air in my gooch.
what Adam told
Airing
you...
Airing my gooch is such a good name for a podcast.
Hey, hello and welcome to Airing the Gooch this week. What I haven't told you is from episode one till about now, Joel has been doing the V-sit and talking as if it's his gooch.
It's quite clever, isn't it? It's weird that has been happening and no one's ever really known about it.
Joel's been miming his own gooch, even when guests are in.
Is this just going to be a thing now? We're going to talk about gooches for 5 minutes every episode.
No, we'll move on.
Yeah, well, thanks for the suggestion. Let's never speak of gooches again.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
What about this one from Mike? Tim Westwood World.
You get to be Tim Westwood.
Well, he's gone full in for this one, Mike. Everyone's nightmare, a theme park where all the rides are Tim Westwood based, including animatronic versions of the man himself. When one of these robots turns evil, it's up to a real version to go and save a group of fans that are trapped in the park. Definitely an 18 rating, as children should not be forced to endure Tim Westwood.
All of that's too cruel on Tim Westwood. It says a lot about...
Are you
a
Westwood apologist?
Who sent this in?
Mike.
Okay, so it says a lot about mine and Mike's differing opinions of Tim Westwood that I immediately envision this as a Tim Westwood simulator, where you get to go and be Tim Westwood for a day in a mythical land.
I don't want that.
Why not?
I have
the big dog.
Yeah. There must be so much cleanup to do after his shows. All that glass.
All the shattered glass.
All the glass he's shattering.
Yeah.
Sometimes he blows up walls.
They have to soundproof his studios with 10 walls because he destroys so many.
He's like the Hulk getting stronger and stronger as he's broadcasting.
Okay, so it's an actual theme park. But I imagine Tim Westwood has funded this theme park with the money he got back from accidentally Snapchatting his credit card details. Do you remember this?
I do, yes.
So for listeners who aren't aware, who don't get Google updates on Tim Westwood like John and I do, he meant to send a private message to his girlfriend on Snapchat, but sent a public message that was like, hey, baby, go get yourself a wax, with a picture of his credit card. And then everyone cloned his card and just spent all his money. So what's happened is he's got the big payoff from the credit card company and he's thought, reinvesting this in a theme park.
Yeah.
There you go.
Also, just for more context, because there might be some people who don't even know, I imagine, who don't even know who Tim Westwood is.
Well,
UK-based radio hip-hop DJ.
Legend in the game.
Been around for
Legend
forever.
In the game. Nothing but respect for my president. Do you want a film idea?
Yeah.
Mary sent in a film called Fish Bay.
Yeah.
Fish Bay is a part of New York, right?
Yeah.
Mary sends an email that says she was on the BBC News site, mm-hmm. and she saw the headline, Shark Attacks Children in New York. Which is amazing, right? And I looked it up. And if you go on the BBC website, that's the headline. And the story
is... I'm sorry for laughing.
No, they're fine. The story is that these two kids swam out from, like, Long Island or whatever and got attacked by a shark. But the BBC has made the clickbait headline, Shark Attacks Children in New York. Now, anyone in their right mind imagines, like, kids just walking around Times Square and a shark in, like, a jacket and a hat just going, out of nowhere. Don't you? That's, you see the headline, shark attacks children in New York. You don't think, oh, they're probably swimming a mile out to sea.
So
you think they're on, they're at Coney Island going over the Ferris wheel.
So he's got the physical build of a street shark, but he's in like a flasher mac and sunglasses and that.
Just going around attacking kids.
That's great. And so what happens is at the beginning of the film, there are all these attacks and the kids are getting rushed to hospital and the doctors are looking going, this looks like a shark attack.
But we found you in Macy's. Yeah, that's good, right? That's fun.
I really like, and we don't reveal it to the audience that it's a shark until the end.
No, but there's just lots of people saying, this looks a lot like a shark attack.
And they're like, well, it can't
be. All they do is follow it from behind. You can just see the collar up on the Mac and a hat. Yeah. You can't see this, even though it's walking what clearly appears to be on a fin. Would you back yourself against a great white if it was like, in a Macy's?
Wait, how, what is it? Does it? Is it walking on its fin?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Like a flasher, then no.
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 It'd probably just bite you.
Yeah.
They don't like eating humans, sharks. They don't.
Okay, good.
Another example of bad PR against the animals.
Bad Animals has got a lot of work to do.
They've got their work cut out. They won't eat a human because they can't digest bone. So if they eat a human, like, you never really hear of someone getting swallowed whole by a shark. But like, if they bite your leg, so what they do is you give you a little bite to test you, and then they have to vomit back up the bones. Like, they can vomit out their own stomach from out of their mouths to empty it out.
Oh.
So that's why they eat seals and stuff, because they're just all flubber. But that's why they like chomp your leg and they don't ever come back for more.
For the record, Joel has a really weirdly large knowledge of sharks.
Yeah, because I'm very scared of them.
And I believe that, yeah.
It's because of all the PR.
And I believe from the last time I asked him about this, it's because he wants to be mentally equipped for if he has to take on a shark.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. I never go in open water.
But you'd have the facts to throw at it.
But I know theoretically how to combat a shark. And I'm sure if I was ever in that situation, they would all kick in. All the old facts would kick in. No, not so much.
Oh.
Yeah, so I imagine all the old tricks would kick in. If I was just in open water with a great white, I'd remember all this stuff that I've learned from various documentaries.
So shark isn't bop on the nose? I thought shark was bop on the nose is play dead.
Right, this is mad, right? But only some bears are play dead and some are run away. And they live in the same forest in America.
So you have to ask the bear what it is.
There's genuinely stories about people coming across bears and be like, which one?
Oh my God.
And what you do is you lay and then you roll really quickly away.
And what's the one where you run in a zigzag?
Snipers.
they've had terrible PR.
Snipers have got to be out bad PR as well. Yeah. Yeah. Great. Good stuff.
Would you like this one from my boy Tim?
Yeah.
Avengers Infinity Score. It's the World Cup, but with teams made up of characters from particular genres. My money is on Team Horror, brackets, Freddy and Gold with the long arms, or Team Robot with ED-209 destroying the defence.
Interesting. So different genres of film competing in a World Cup.
Because weirdly, we already did Justice League, which was a tournament of superheroes.
Yeah, we did.
And now we've taken the other Team
Horror
one.
Tim doesn't listen.
No, but he's on genre ones.
I'm joking. Tim's a great, great
he's
guy.
He's one of the top guys. He is the hyena of the human world. That's what I'd say.
Always laughing.
Top guy.
Mostly evil. Oh, no, wait. That's the PR, right?
Come on. We're trying to help Tim out.
We are trying to help Tim out. Genres. Look, I love comedy, but what? What are we talking? What's going to happen here? Tina Fey up against Freddy Krueger.
There's some great violence in Anchorman.
But why is it all violence? This is the World Cup. It's not a Royal Rumble.
Oh, it's football.
Yeah.
Why did I think it was a Royal Rumble?
Why do you immediately go to violence? That's a shame.
That's my upbringing.
Quite upsetting.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, okay, fine. Football. Yeah, no, right. The thing is, Team Robot's a great shout.
I don't think it is. Have you ever seen footage of the Robot World Cup? It's pathetic.
Bad.
They can't program robots to walk properly. Although they can in the films. No, because C-3PO is going to be there. Imagine C-3PO kicking a football. Embarrassing. You could so easily push him over. How, if you push C-3PO over, has he got knee joints?
If you're dealing with a robot like ED-209 from RoboCop, which only has legs and essentially a gun,
yep.
Where's the hand? Is the gun a hand?
What's
handball?
Yeah, it's the gun. It's bought a gun.
Oh, fine. Yeah. Fine. French noir.
Yeah, how would they get on? Well, they're French, so inherently quite good at football.
The thing is, horror's probably good because you've got like creepy creatures, monsters and stuff that can go around doing crazy physics defying stuff.
Yeah, but they're gonna get booked. But what about
sports movie people?
Space Jam.
Yeah.
No, because they're not footballers.
What about the Monstars?
What about Escape to Victory? Because that's got Pele in it.
There you go.
Tim. Up yours.
What about Goal?
Yeah.
A football
film.
Because
that's Alan Shearer in it.
Bend It Like Beckham. Kieran Knightley.
David Beckham in it.
No, it doesn't.
Does he appear in it? I think he's got a cameo.
It would be sad if he didn't appear in a film that had the word Beckham in it.
He's got a cameo in it, I think.
Good.
Mm. If not, he's definitely in a Goal film. Yeah, what Tim's done there is forgotten about football films.
Yeah.
They definitely win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Superheroes. No, superheroes. Iron Man could fly around. Hulk in Goal. Hulk could just take up Goal.
Yeah, but you'd have to get angry about something.
All the goals that he's been letting in is Bruce Banner.
Well, then, so he's going to be 10... Oh, so they have to start off at about 10-0 down.
Yeah. And that's fine.
I don't know if Hulk's got the patience to be a goalkeeper.
And then Doctor Strange, every time he kicks it for the ball, he can do one of those like little vortexy things and just flies
out
on
the goal.
Yeah. I think superheroes.
Oh, yeah. They're so good at stuff.
Mm.
They can basically turn their hand to anything.
Could, if there was a World Cup where superheroes were allowed, would Spider-Man just be allowed to web the goal?
No, I feel that's in, that contravenes a lot of the rules of the game.
Yeah, and also he'd be thinking, well, this is great this half, but then when we swap pitch sides halfway round, I've just...
Nightmare. Scorey goals in the first half.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we pitch our ideas?
Yeah.
I'll go first.
Great.
My film is called Burnbury.
I don't get it.
So, every year, Burberry burn millions and millions and millions of pounds worth of stock. At the end of the year, when it's out of season, they just burn it to stop it going onto the black market or being sold cheap or anything like that.
Yeah.
Last year, they burnt 30 million quid's worth of stock. So, the idea is other companies latch onto this as well, and then the government starts doing it with children. Look, I thought of the pun Burnbury, and I started talking, and I hadn't thought about where that sentence was going to finish, but they basically do it to children.
But the Burberry thing is true.
That's true, yeah.
Oh, fine. It's because they want to make sure the value of British children...
is as high as possible after Brexit. That's what's being agreed in Chequers at the moment, is that we're going to burn all the sad children.
Okay, yeah. I like it. What can I say?
What's your idea?
My idea is Kill Bill and Ted.
Good!
So, Quentin Tarantino directs... a film in which a lady who has been betrayed on her wedding day
by Bill and Ted. Oh, she was marrying them both? Or was one of them the vicar?
Or I thought it was going to be that Bill and Ted just murder everyone at her wedding apart from her. Because
with their mad riffs?
Because it's by accident. So in Kill Bill, it's intentional, obviously. He kills everyone. He's supposed to kill Uma Thurman as well.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. Whereas in this one, Bill and Ted accidentally...
with their shredding riffs.
Just some slapstick. Yeah. They're getting married below a nuclear facility.
Oh, no.
And Bill and Ted accidentally...
they riff too hard.
And the note is so loud...
the glass that the nuclear stuff's being held in.
Smashes.
Or is it plastic?
It's plastic.
Yeah, okay. And it shatters.
And someone at the wedding goes, it shouldn't have shattered.
I was
it's
at
made
the bloody gig
with
it. I'm the unluckiest guy in the world.
Yeah.
And they get covered in nuclear
stuff.
Which
is a great joke that riffs on a film that you would have had to have watched that wasn't linked in any way.
That's what I love about this film. It's full of those sort of references. And then the nuclear stuff leaks all over everyone apart from Bill, Ted and Uma Thurman because they're under like an arch that's been made for the wedding ceremony.
Exactly.
Which is nuclear
proof.
It's a bunker. They're in a bunker.
If you're going to get married under nuclear...
do it in a bunker.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I've always said that. Why? In what circumstance are they under it? Is it maybe on a cliff and they're getting married on a beach? It's difficult to imagine it, really, isn't it?
That's one of my favourite idioms, actually. Yeah. If you're getting married under a nuclear facility...
do it in a bunker. I think I had that in a fortune cookie, actually. I've always stood by it. I've not had a single wedding under a nuclear facility, not in a bunker.
And in a very much like in Star Wars The Phantom Menace, when Jar Jar Binks is being slapstick clumsy,
yep,
accidentally killing all the baddies being great. Bill and Ted are kind of doing that with Uma Thurman while she's being a badass warrior, and they're kind of just...
great.
And it ends with Bill and Ted dying.
Oh, that's a shame.
Because they said they're going to make another one, and they haven't said what it's about.
Well, I mean, you pitched it.
Kill Bill and Ted.
Thanks. And that brings us to the end of this episode of Dream Factory. We know it's the end because there's a rat-tat-tat at the studio door. And coming in through the door, John, who is it?
Stanley Gucci.
Oh, God. We said we'd never mention Gucci again. We'll only mention Gucci's again if Gucci actually comes. If
we get
Gucci send us some free products or Stanley Gucci appears.
Yes.
Ah, so, John, there was a little bit of chat in that about animals and their PR.
Yeah.
We talked about animals with really bad press that maybe don't deserve it.
Yeah.
The wasp, the rat, the hyena.
Ugh.
What animals out there have got a really good press but don't deserve it?
Panda. Chris Packham always says it, doesn't he?
What, fuck the pandas?
He says fuck the pandas. That's how he starts.
Packham doesn't think that. He does. Packham's a fundamentally good guy, isn't he? Why does Packham hate the pandas?
If you see Packham do like a presentation to a university or you know,
first school. Slide, fuck the pandas.
Yes. Hi, I'm Chris Packham. Fuck the pandas.
Good night.
Today I'm going to...
Well, they won't fuck themselves.
That's his point. Oh. It's genuine. He's like...
He wants them to die out.
He's like, fuck the pandas because they're not... they're not... Basically, I think his long and much more subtle message is that the amount of money that is put into panda conservation is huge because they're cute and they're on the WWF logo and all that stuff. So if you're taking that PR... question seriously, fuck the pandas.
I think the flamingo, don't really know what it offers. You know the bit on its leg that you can see that looks like its knee? That's actually its ankle, and its knee's up by its waist. There's some real flamingo PR for you.
That's some great PR.
And they're pink because they eat prawns.
That is
mad.
That's a fun fact.
Apparently in the 90s my nan went to the doctor and was told that she had like a deficiency in something that you could get in red pepper, and she ate loads of red peppers and her skin went red. Big time.
Amazing.
I don't know how many peppers and over what period of time, but I would encourage everyone listening to give it a go.
Because I was thinking for a second there, how many prawns would it take for me to turn?
How many prawns should a man eat if a man could turn pink? So there's a tongue twister in there somewhere. look, listener, the room we're in is insufferably hot. I've got a bit of a head cold and, you know, things are going south pretty quick.
Yeah, so I'm going to keep him here for a bit longer.
Oh.
What about a fluffy little polar bear?
Good PR. They don't... Yeah, they get good PR. Again, because they're nearly extinct.
The sob story. The classic X-Factor sob story. Gets you right.
Oh, love me. They're the most vicious animals on Earth.
They did like a campaign at one point for like ugly animals that were going extinct. Because obviously, they're cute. We're all for it.
Yeah, big time.
A panda any day. How many hours have I spent watching really irritated zookeepers try and put up with pandas in hours, right? Because they're hilarious.
They are great.
They're just constantly cleaning the zookeeper whilst he's trying to clean them. And you can tell, because for me, I'm like, this is amazing and adorable. Why are you annoyed? He's been doing it for seven years now.
Yeah, exactly. He's 9 to 5 every day those pandas are on his fucking case. It's ridiculous. You know how you grow to hate your colleagues? It all seems good to begin with.
Yeah, look, I've stopped clinging onto
you. You start to learn their habits. And then even the way that some of them breathe starts to annoy you. With the I'm talking specifically about the pandas.
Pandas.
Just about the pandas.
When before we started doing this after bit, Joel was like, "Oh, we're gonna riff on animals that have had good PR."
Yeah.
He didn't say, "Should we just be mean about pandas for 5 minutes?"
That's where it's gone. That's where it's gone, and we'll leave it there. Fuck the pandas.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.